Pastor Jonathan here, and today we jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 1 on Through the Word. I used to study biology, and one area that has always fascinated me was autoimmune diseases. I have friends with lupus and have a few family members with Crohn's disease. For most people, the immune system fights off foreign invaders, but for those with autoimmune diseases, the body attacks itself. And when the body attacks itself, it weakens the entire body. Unfortunately, Christians, well, we can often be like an autoimmune disease. We can turn against each other, often over the smallest of issues. Having begun his letter with a beautiful prayer of thanksgiving, it doesn't take Paul long to jump into some of the big issues facing the church. And the first one is one of the biggest. Verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. The church here is tearing itself apart. They divided themselves into different factions and were no longer focused on Christ. Verse 12, what I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. And still another, well, I follow Christ. One group claimed to be right with God because of their loyalty to Paul. Another group claimed that loyalty to the great teacher Apollos was the sign of true righteousness. Others followed Peter, and another group bragged about how awesome they were because they only followed Christ. But here's the deal. They were all wrong. Even the group claiming to follow Christ was boasting about their deep spirituality rather than following the humble example of Jesus. Like spiritual lupus, the church had turned on itself. They were guilty of dividing Christ, guilty of ignoring the truth of unity in the body of Christ. Seriously, spiritual elitism is terrible. Following any man is foolish. The unity of the body of Christ must be a priority. So, where does that leave us today? There are more denominations than there are Starbucks. Now, denominations themselves are not bad, except when they're overemphasized. Unfortunately, many denominations are the result of rivalries, intolerance, and sin. But this is not the way that Christ laid out for us. In John 17, Jesus prayed to the Father, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Unity. Jesus' final prayer before his crucifixion was about the church being unified. Back in 1 Corinthians, Paul recalls the message he taught them, the gospel of the crucified Christ. Verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. The Corinthians were known for their love of eloquent speech and debate, and Paul was an amazing speaker. He could have come into town and debated with the best. But instead of well-crafted arguments appealing to the traditional Greek rhetoric, he shows up determined to preach nothing but the simple gospel. Why? Because it's possible to preach about God in such a way that it is empty of power. Human wisdom and eloquence can make the gospel of no effect. Verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? God promises that he will destroy the wisdom of man. The wise, the experts of the law, the debater, all fall short of God's wisdom. And I think most of us can agree on that. Our wisdom simply cannot measure up to God's. But Paul says something here that caught me off guard when I first read it. Why does Paul say that the cross is foolishness? Today we speak of Jesus dying on a cross for us and think fondly of it. We sing songs that speak of the wondrous cross and how love ran red at the cross. But in the ancient world? Well, let's just say that crucifixion was not something to sing about. It wasn't even spoken of in polite conversation. And the Savior of the world being crucified? Where is the power a Savior needs to actually save people? The cross, it speaks of defeat, of weakness, of humiliation. Verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." By human standards, God was at his most foolish and weak at the cross. But it was infinitely wiser and stronger than anything man could do. Verse 25 sums it up clearly. "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." Then Paul goes for the jugular. The Corinthians were so proud of their little groups, but they had no right to be proud at all. Verse 26, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth." Ouch. God did not choose the mighty, the noble, the educated elite, the power brokers, or aristocrats to begin his church. He chose, verse 27, "the foolish things of the world to shame the wise." God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. For the most part, the early Christians were slaves and people of low status. Here in Corinth, these lowly men and women started to think a little too highly of themselves. They saw the work of God in their lives and thought that they must have been someone special. But God says he did it all for his glory. No one can boast before God about what a great person they are. Before a holy, righteous God, we're nobodies. We deserve God's judgment poured out on us. So when God instead pours out his love and forgiveness and his mercy, it's not based on our worthiness, but because of his. And so we must say along with Paul, "Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." And Paul has more to say about the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man, and we'll jump into that tomorrow in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.